Blog Talk Radio. Our health, our finances, everything, God, everything. But we are weak, Lord. I say it again, we are weak, Lord. We fall short, Lord. You, Father God, that lead us and guide us. Father, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, my humble heart this morning, Lord God, be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Father, are my strength. You, Father, are my strength and my redeemer. I cannot go forth without you, God. So I ask you, Lord God, speak through me. Let these words that I read, the words that I speak, be words that you want us to hear, God. That we walk in righteousness, love, charity, and that we walk in all the fruit of the Spirit, God, especially love. In Jesus' name, Lord God, I thank you for waking me up this morning. I thank you for waking me up this morning, clothing my right mind. Father God, I give this word to you. Again, I pray that you increase as I decrease. In Jesus' name, amen. Giving honor to God, who of our strength and the strength of our lives. Hallelujah. As we read on yesterday, we are dealing with Jesus getting his disciples ready for his departure, ready for his crucifixion, ready for his resurrection. Old Testament, we are looking at Elijah, and he's talking to the son of Ahab, and he's giving him a prophetic word. But again, is he going to listen? Let's find out. But we also have Elisha, who is going to follow Elijah wherever he goes. And when that chariot comes and takes him, he gets the mantle. Because what did he tell him? He said, Master, I'm over you today. He said, yes, I know, keep silent. Now the sons of the prophets, where Jericho came to Elisha, said to him, do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today? The prophets, the true prophets, knew that the Lord was coming to get Elijah. You will not find the body of Moses, and you will not find the body of Elijah. All the archaeologists can dig wherever they want to, but the body of Moses will not be found, just like Elijah will not be found, until God sends those two prophets back to prophesy in Israel. Get ready. Everything that the word of God says will come true. But these two prophets, Elijah and Moses, were God's prophets. Come on now. All the other prophets, they tell you what God said, but those two were God's prophets. Elijah spoke himself. God took care of him. God sent him through. But he always came through. Moses, God gave him authority over millions of people to keep them under and in check in a wilderness for 40 years. And because of one mistake, hitting instead of speaking to the rock, the gushed water, Moses lost opportunity enter into the promised land. But God took him up to let him see it. Whatever you ask, God will do it. Moses didn't ask to go into the promised land. He didn't ask. But he saw it. Elijah didn't ask to be taken up by a chariot of fire. Remember, even if we ask, if it is not the will of God, it's not going to happen. God's will shall be done in all things. because that's what we pray, Lord, your will be done. And God's will is not always ours. And that's something we have to remember. We can ask, but if it's not meant to be, it's not going to happen. Let's get into our word this morning. We are coming out of 2 Kings chapter 1 and chapter 2. We are coming out of the 71st Psalms, verses 9 through 16. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 6 through 18. John chapter 16. And John chapter 16 is where our word is coming from this morning. So let's go into our Old Testament word and let's get ready, because it is going to be a great word this morning. And it says in the word of God, Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab. And as we know, we read on yesterday, Ahab let that ratchet wife of his talking in to taking over somebody else's land just because he wanted to build something. Even though at first it looked like he was saying, just give me your land. But that was not Ahab. That was a Jezebel thing. Just give it to me. It was a Jezebel thing. I'm going to take it. But Ahab offered to pay him, offered to give him another land, everything. Ahab did really what was right when trying to get Naboth's land. But the one thing he did wrong was go to his wife and be a pouty, just all pouty. He won't give me what I want, like a spoiled rich boy, a spoiled child, what he acted like. And so that wife of his sent out a letter under his name, told some folks, have a dinner, invite Naboth, and put some folks by him that are lying, basically. And they lied. Naboth was stoned. And a curse came over them. A curse that God sent for Ahab and for Jezebel, which we will see in Chronicles. A curse. That where that man's blood was, that the dogs is going to lick up their blood and eat them up. The dogs and the birds. And when we get to the Chronicles and you see what happens to Jezebel, you know, what was left of Jezebel after the dogs. It's very interesting. But I'm not going to tell you. You're going to have to keep listening to find out what happened. So let's get into what happened to the king of Israel. Now, Ahaziah fell through the lattice of his upper room in Samaria and was injured. So he sent messengers and said to them, go inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover from this injury. But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria and say to them, it is because there is no God in Israel that you are overholding. Let me go back. Arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria and say to them, is it because there is no God in Israel that you are going to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Now, therefore, thus says the Lord, you shall not come down from the bed to which you have gone up, but you shall surely die. So Elijah departed. And when the messengers returned to him, he said to them, why have you come back? So they said to him, a man came up to meet us and said to us, don't return to the king who sent you and say to him, thus says the Lord, it is because there is no God in Israel that you are sending to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore you shall not come down from the bed to which you have gone up, but you shall surely die. Then he said to them, what kind of man was it who came up to meet you and told you these words? So they answered him, a hairy man wearing a leather belt around his waist, and he said, it is Elijah the Tishbite. Then the king sent to him a captain of 50 with his 50 men. So he went up to him, and there he was sitting on the top of a hill. And he spoke to him, man of God, the king has said, come down. So Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, if I am a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men. And fire came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Then he sent to him another captain of 50 with his 50 men. And he answered and said to him, man of God, thus has the king said, come down quickly. So Elijah answered and said to them, if I am a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men. And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Again, he sent a third captain of 50 and his 50 men. And the third captain of 50 went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah and pleaded with him and said to him, man of God, please let my life and the life of these 50 servants of yours be precious in your sight. Look, fire has come down from heaven and burned up the first two captains of 50 with their 50, but let my life now be precious in your sight. Whatever you ask, come on now. He is asking for life. Are you asking for life today? And the angel of the Lord said to Elijah, go down with him. Do not be afraid of him. So he arose and went down with him to the king. Then he said to him, thus says the Lord, because you have sent messengers to inquire of Beelzebub, the God of Akron, and it is because there is no God in Israel to inquire of his word. Therefore you shall not come down from the bed to which you have gone up, but you shall surely die. So Ahaziah to the word of the Lord, which Elijah had spoken, because he had no son, Jehoram became king in his place in the second year of Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. Now the rest of the acts of Ahaziah, which he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? Understand, in this section, the third captain of 50 said, we ain't dying like that. So he went up and he asked, he got on his knees. Let me see, let's go back. Whatever you ask for, whatever, you got to ask for what you need. And he said, look, fire has come down from heaven and burned up the first two captains of the 50s and 50s. So let my life now be precious in your sight. Come on now. He didn't come down and get burnt up. He said, I'm going up on the mountain to him. I'm getting on my knees and I'm going to pray. Don't burn us up. Don't ask God to burn us up. Because whatever Elijah asked, God did it, didn't he? And he was going to get burnt up too. And he said, I'm going to ask for my life. I'm going to ask for the life of my men. He didn't just ask for his own life. He asked for the life of his 50 men too. Come on now. You got to ask whatever it is that you're needing from God. You got to ask for it. The Lord knows your heart. He knows what you need. Ask and you will receive it. This man asked for life and he got it. Come on now. Are you asking for life today? Are you asking for living water today? Are you asking God to take over? I'm asking God, Lord, take over everything in my life. Take over the aspect. Because you know what? We can be such a mess sometimes that the only thing that can clean us up and clean up our mess is the will of God. You got to ask for what you need. Hallelujah. And I love this word from Life Lesson. It says in 2 Kings 1 and 10, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men. Did it twice. 102 people got, they didn't know how to ask for life. This hardly seems like the same prophet who ran away at the death threat of Jezebel. What happened? Time alone with God and had convinced Elijah of God's presence, and his presence energizes us for our work. Hallelujah. The Lord will energize you for your work. When it's time to go to work, you're feeling good. You're feeling energized because you are doing the work of God that sent you. Hallelujah. And let's go to 2 Kings chapter 2. And it came to pass when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Then Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came up to Elisha and said to him, do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today? And he said, yes, I know. Keep silent. Then Elijah said to him, Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they came to Jericho. He had his Ruth moment. Where you go, I will go. Woo! So he was going. It's like he's like that. He's like I was a little kid with my uncle. When my uncle thought he was going swimming without me. The devil is a lie. And he would have his trunks and his towel, and he'd get ready to go. And I had my, and before he could blink, I had my swimming suit on, and I had my towel. And I'm like, and he's like, where are you going? I'm going with you. And he's like, oh, no, you can't go with me. I'm like, oh, yes, I can. I'm going. And he didn't know that he wasn't going anywhere without my little self right there with him. And when he went to the swimming pool, guess whose little self was right there with him? This one right here. I was right there. I went swimming. When he went swimming, I went swimming. Where he went, I went. And, you know, my longest story from my uncle and I, we were little. I was little. He was probably, because he's 8 years older than I am. So he was probably like 12, 13, and I was little. And we decided we were going to visit our aunt down in the country. Now, we're talking about a 20-mile drive, 20, 30-mile drive. We walked it. And finally, we caught a mail truck that took us all the way there. But prior to that, we was walking. And he would take us off the road so nobody would bother us, you know, because it was a perilous time in the South. And we walked to the country. I'd get tired, and he'd carry me. And then we walked some more. I'd get tired, he'd carry me. And we wound up walking to our aunt's house. And she's like, what are you two doing here? And we walked, and she was like, oh, my. You know, we just wanted to, we just had to get away. Sometimes as children, we just have to get away. And back then, we didn't have all the fancy-dancy, you know, things that they have now with the Amber Alerts and everything. Who knows? We could have easily died that day. But we didn't. God did it. But I understand, Alicia, where you're going. Uncle, I'm going with you. If you going swimming, I'm going swimming. If you walking 20 miles to Auntie's house, I'm walking 20 miles with you. Where you go, I'm going. That's how I was as a little girl. And this is how Elisha was as a prophet. He was not allowing this prophet to get out of his sight because he knew once he's out of my sight, I won't see him again. He's my teacher. He's my mentor. I won't get to see him again. So where you go, I'm going too. And this is what he said. Now the sons of the prophet who were at Jericho came to Elisha and said to him, do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today? And so he answered, yes, I know. Keep silent. He's like, you ain't telling me anything I don't already know. And that's why I'm hanging on. I'm going to be with him until he gives me what I need before he goes. Then Elijah said to him, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to the Jordan. But he said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So the two of them went on, and 50 men of the sons of the prophet went and stood facing them at a distance while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water, and it was divided this way and that, so that the two of them crossed over on dry land. When was the last time that happened? It happened with Joshua. Whoa, y'all about to make me shout this morning. It happened with Joshua when he walked through dry land over the Jordan. Come on now. It happened with Moses as he took that step and touched the Red Sea open for the children of Israel to walk out of bondage. And as Elisha is going into his giving, into his calling, he is following after his mentor. He is like, I'm going with you. He had his moment. He's like, nope, I'm right there. I'm where you go, I'm going. But he understood, I'm going to lose him. I'm not going to be with him forever. And I remember when my uncle left to go to Vietnam, I was heartbroken. When he left home, I was heartbroken because it had always been me and him when I was small. But he made sure, he and my mother, that I had parents. My uncle loved them too, just as much as they loved him as well. You know, we are blessed and to be loved by those that just love us just because. Elijah loved Elisha just because. But he was trying not to take him, but Elisha's like, I'm getting my stuff. I'm getting my blessing. I'm going to the next level. Hallelujah. I'm your armor bearer, and I'm going to be with you. And let's keep it going, and let's see what happens. Now, Elijah took this mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water, and it was divided this way and that, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. So it was, when they had crossed over, that Elijah said to Elisha, ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you? Elisha said, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. So he said, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. Then it happened, as they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. So he saw them no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over. He received the mantle and the power of Elijah double for his trouble, because he's like, I'm going with you. Now when the sons of the prophet who were from Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. Then they said to him, look now, there are 50 strong men with your servant. Please let them go and search for your master, lest perhaps the spirit of the Lord has taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley. And he said, you shall not send anyone. But when they urged him that he was ashamed, he said, send them. Therefore they sent 50 men, and they searched for 3 days, but did not find him. And when they came back to him, he had stayed in Jericho. He said to them, did I not say to you, do not go? Then the men of the city said to Elisha, please notice the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord sees, but the water is bad and the ground barren. And he said, bring me a new bowl and put salt in it. So they brought it to him. Then he went out to the source of the water, cast in the salt there, and said, thus says the Lord, I have healed this water. From it there shall be no more death or barrenness. So the water remains healed to this day according to the word of Elisha, which he spoke. Then he went up from there to Bethel, and as he was going up the road, some youth came from the city and mocked him and said to him, go up, you bald head. Go up, you bald head. So he turned around and looked at them and pronounced a curse on them in the name of the Lord. And two female bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of the youth. Then he went from there to Mount Carmel, and from there he returned to Samaria. You know what? Don't be mocking men and women of God. You don't know what you're playing with. And as we go to 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9, life lessons, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. Elisha made a big request because he had come to know a big God. What big things might God be pleased to do in your life if only you would ask him? Whew, hallelujah. What are you asking God for today? 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 21, I have healed this water. The salt did not heal the water, nor did Elisha's words. The Lord healed the water. Yet the Lord usually chooses to work through both people and things to accomplish his work. Are you working today? Are you working for God? Have you gone to work? Hallelujah. Thanking God this morning for this awesome word. What are you asking God for today? The 71st Psalm, verses 9 through 16. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. For my enemies speak, and those who lie in wait for my life take counsel together, saying, God has forsaken him. Pursue and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, do not be far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. Let them be confounded and consumed, who are adversaries of my life. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor, who seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all the day, for I do not know their limits. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, of yours only. Praise the Lord this morning. Proverbs 18:6-8. A fool's lips teaching and his mouth calls for blows. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. The words of a talebearer are like tasty truffles, and they go down into the innermost body. God does not want us to be gossip and to talk a bunch of mess. We got to talk the word of God. Are you ready to go to work this morning for the Lord? And as we go into John chapter 16, I want to go back to 2 Kings. We started a new chapter, and we're going to go to our little book, and then we're going to go into John 16. And when we go to our little book, and those that just joined us, the little book is Know Your Bible. It's just a tiny little book, and it explains and amplifies the Bible. And it just says, know your Bible. And we just finished 1 Kings, and now we're in 2 Kings, and it says this. The author of 2 Kings is not stated and unknown. Only early traditions claim Jeremiah wrote 1 and 2 Kings. The dates that it covered were 300 years from 800 B.C. on, Second Kings were probably written sometime after the Babylonian destruction of Jerusalem in 586 B.C., so about 500 years before Jesus. In 10 words or less, both Jewish nations are destroyed for their disobedience to God. Can I say it again? Both Judah and Israel, breaking it down, both Jewish nations are destroyed for their disobedience to God. In the details, with more bad rulers, a handful of good ones, some familiar prophets, and the ultimate loss of the two Jewish nations. Early in 2 Kings, Elijah becomes the second man after Enoch in Genesis 5 and 25 to go straight to heaven without dying. Come on now. His successor, Elisha, performs many miracles and shares God's word with the average people of Israel. The northern kingdom's rulers are entirely wicked, and Israel, under its last king, Hoshea, is carried away into Assyria. And in 722 B.C., Judah, with occasional good kings such as Hezekiah and Josiah, lasts a few years longer. But in 586 B.C., the southern kingdom's capital of Jerusalem was broken up by Babylonian armies under King Nebuchadnezzar. Besides taking everything valuable from the temple and the Jewish king's palace, the Babylonians also carried away all Jerusalem and all the princes and all the mighty men of valor, even 10,000 captives, and all the craftsmen on a light up note. In 2 Kings, describes a new king of Babylon, even more God, showing kindness to Jehoiakim, the last real king of Judah, by giving him a place of honor at the Babylonian court. Behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and part of them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Elijah and Enoch, that's it, period. And it said the Lord rejected all the seed of Israel and afflicted them and delivered them into the hand of foreigners until he had cast them out of his sight. So Judah was carried away out of their land. In 2 Kings chapter 25, verse 21. Unique and unusual, Isaiah, who wrote a long prophecy that appeared later in the Old Testament, is prominent in 2 Kings 19. One of Judah's best kings, Josiah, was only 8 years old when he took the throne. Think that through. He was eight. 8 years old. So what? Both Israel and Judah found that there were terrible consequences to sin. Even bad examples can be helpful if we decide not to do the things that bring us trouble. That is an awesome word this morning. So let's get into our New Testament word, and we are coming out of John chapter 16. And the word of God says to you, this is Jesus speaking, that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogue. Yes, the time is coming that whosoever kills you will think that he offers God's service. Understand, Paul thought he was doing what God, well, he was Saul at the time, thought he was doing what God told him to do. And again, what did he tell him? Jesus had already told him what was coming. They will put you out of the synagogue. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God's service. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you asked me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, But if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they do not believe in me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the rulers of this world have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you in all truth, but he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take up what is mine and declare to you all things that the Father has are mine. Did you catch that? All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, we belong to Jesus. Therefore, I say that he will take a mind and declare it to you. And you will not see me. And again, a little while, and you will see me because I go to the Father. Then some of his disciples said amongst themselves, what is this that he says to us? A little while, and you will not see me. And again, a little while, and you will see me. And because I go to the Father, they said, therefore, what is this that he says? A little while, we do not know what he is saying. Now, Jesus knew that they desired to ask him. And he said to them, are you inquiring amongst yourselves about what I said? A little while, and you will see me. And again, a little while, you will see me. Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament. Both the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful. But your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because of power. As she has given birth to a child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. This is our word for this morning. And in that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, did you catch that? Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. Have you asked God for anything this morning? And you will receive it. That's what God's word tells us. That whatever we ask, isn't that what he said? Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. Are you asking God for something today? These things I have spoken to you in figurative language, but the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language. But I will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day, you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you, I shall pray the Father for you. But the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me, and have believed that I came forth from God. I came forth, Father, and have come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father. And I want y'all to catch that. Did he not say again, right? So when did he come? All you got to do is go back to the Old Testament. He has been here before. He was with the three Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace. Hallelujah. He was with Moses on the mountain as the burning bush. He was the manna from heaven. He was the one with Lot He was the one that was with Abraham. He had been here before, and he was with his disciples. What did he say? He said to them, "For the Father himself loves you. God loves us because you have loved me." Do you love Jesus? Do you know him? Do you love him? Do you care? Hallelujah. My favorite song is "I Love You, Jesus," which is more than anything. I love you, Lord, more than anything. Hallelujah. I lift my hands in total adoration unto you. Come on, we got to lift our hands to God this morning. And as it tells us in the word, oh, I love this word. Thank you, Jesus. "In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me, and I believe that I came forth from God. I came forth from the Father and have come into this world again. I leave the world and go to the Father." His disciples asked him, "See now, you are speaking plainly and using no figure of speech. Now we are sure that you know all things and have no need anyone should question you. By this, we believe that you come forth from God." Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe indeed that hour is coming? Yes, has now come that you will be scattered each to his own and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome." What a word. I have overcome the world. What are you asking God for today? In John 16:22, life lessons, "I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. Sorrow and happiness are both a part of the human experience, and both depend largely on circumstances. When we unite ourselves to the risen Christ, however, he gives us a joy that no circumstances can dampen." John 16:24, "Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." So ask in Jesus' name means to connect your request with the will, plans, and purpose of Jesus Christ. It is not a magic add-on to hedge your bet, but it wears your request the sovereignty of Jesus. And I'm going to read that again. To ask in Jesus' name means to connect your request with the will, plans, and purpose of Jesus Christ. With the will of Jesus, with the plans of Jesus, and with the purpose of Jesus. It is not a magic add-on to hedge your bet, but it wears your request to the sovereignty of Jesus. "Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." How could a man about to be crucified say that he had overcome the world? Jesus overcame the world by obeying his Father despite all the challenges and opposition. Similar way, we too can be overcomers. Hallelujah. Are you an overcomer today? What are you asking God for this morning? What are you believing God for in your life? Believe me when I say he has you in his hands. Ask and you will receive it. Ask and you will receive it. And I'm asking for a word from my sister in Christ this morning, a word from Sister Carolyn, and a word from yesterday is this: good morning. When people say no, God still says yes. Come on now, I told y'all yesterday that whatever the word was, it would be a today word. All it takes is one word from God, and I and everything in your life can change. Ask. Let me say one more time. When people say no, God still says yes. God can still say yes. All it takes is one word from God, and everything in your life can change. All we can say is, ask Elisha what happened in his life when he got the mantle of Elijah. Woo, hallelujah. And as we go into today's word, worry is a conversation you have with yourself about things you cannot change. Prayer is a conversation you have with God about things he can change. Have a tell it to God, Tuesday family. And as we get ready to wrap up this morning, if there's anybody that has a word, now is the time to push the number one on your phone and your line will be open. We have a prayer book to go with our lesson today. And the prayer says, before confessing, if we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9 in our SV. Merciful Father, thank you for your faithful forgiveness that covers every act done out of the lack of love in my life. You are grace, and I come to you today with my hands that you have to give. Lord, right now I confess the sin that I've been participating in. Every failure that goes against your kingdom values, every act of jealousy, dishonor, selfishness, and lust. Lord, thank you for your remarkable love that covers every wrong. Motivation in my life. No one else offers the sort of mercy that I find in you. How great you are, God. May it fuel me with grace and humility to love those who's unlovable. For I know at my worst, still you love me. As I soak in the acceptance you freely bestow, may I become more confident in your strong love to save and restore. And the question for today to think about is this. Are you willing to forgive those who have wronged you? Are you willing to forgive those that have wronged you? Because as you're asking God for whatever you need, God is asking you to forgive. That is our word this morning. I thank you all for joining me. It has been a great day and a great word. And all I say is I leave you this morning, ask and you will receive it. Whatever God asks of you, he's already guiding you toward it. And we say as we pray, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my God. Say to you today, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other in the precious and holy and matchless name of our Savior Jesus Christ. I pray over you and yours. Be blessed. Family, it's time to go to work. Who do we work for? We work for God. Have a great day. And remember, as you're going through and if you're in need, ask and you will receive it. So we ask together, Father God, whatever is your will, we ask that you lead us and guide us in the direction we should go. In Jesus' name. We pray. Amen. Have a blessed day for me. It's about.